Hello, and welcome to the Heathrow results for the 3 months to the 31st of March 2018. And throughout this, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. And please note that the session today is being recorded. So today I'm pleased to present Xavier Echevarría, Chief Financial Officer. Xavier, please begin your meeting.
Thank you, Hugh. Welcome all, and thank you for joining us today in this Q1 results conference call. I'm Javier Echevarría, Heathrow's Chief Financial Officer, and together with me I have Sally Ding, Acting Director of Treasury. Sally is taking care today of the finance fort in our headquarters at the Compass Centre in London, while I'm hosting the call from Singapore. I have had the opportunity to spend the day with colleagues at the International Changi Airport. And now that we have achieved our magic service level of 4.2 and consolidating our leading European hub service position for fourth consecutive year, it's now the time for us, for me with other executive colleagues, to spend some time learning how the best airport service in the world feels and looks like. So today my intention is to talk you through our operational highlights in the period, as well as the financial performance and strategic agenda. Obviously, at the end, I will be very keen to get your questions, so please get start thinking about those questions. Obviously, Sally will take the difficult questions. And I just want to remind everyone, all participants, that you can view the presentation through the link provided in the invitation or directly through our website, www.heathrow.com. So let's start with the results on slide 3. We had a very strong start to the year with our best first quarter in history. We deliver on all our key service and operational fronts with strong resilience despite very challenging winter conditions. This obviously strong business performance is reflected in the bottom line and is endorsed by our international investor community, which gives us the confidence to continue driving our strategic agenda and gives, in terms of delivery, an expanded Heathrow. We were delighted to see passengers voting Heathrow Best Airport in Western Europe for fourth consecutive year, and for first time, Terminal 2 became Best Airport Terminal since its opening in 2014. We deliver better service at lower cost while welcoming a record 17.7 million passengers in the quarter. Getting into some of the details, our strong operational achievements drove also strong financial performance. Revenue in the period was up 3.8% to £680 million, with growth across all segments. Passengers continue seeing the appeal of our retail proposition, and that increased once more with greater participation and higher spend per participating passenger. On the cost side, we continue our focus on cost efficiencies. While it doesn't mean compromising on operational resilience. So in the quarter, we saw higher unexpected costs related with winter resilience, pushing our absolute operating costs up slightly, while ensuring smooth operations for our passengers. Nevertheless, on a per-passenger basis, our costs continue to trend down, reflecting the efficiencies we have put in place in recent years. The combination of higher revenue and strong cost disciplines means that we see positive trends in terms of EBITDA, which grew 5.2% in the period to £402 million. On the financing side, and under Sally's firm leadership, we successfully raised over £350 million in Class A from various international capital markets, delivering our three key financing priorities: stronger liquidity, better diversification, and longer duration. Finally, on more strategic fronts, our expansion agenda hit a new milestone with the completion of our first planning consultation at the end of March, and now we have launched a new initiative for potential delivery partners, and the Transport Select Committee also endorsed the draft national policy statement. All our eyes now are turning now to the next critical steps, which will be the government's vote on the national policy statement by this summer. Turning to traffic performance on slide 5, this first quarter of 2018 was our best in history. As said, we welcome 17.7 million passengers, which is up 3.1% versus the same quarter in 2017. The traffic growth was primarily driven by a higher number of flights after the successful launch of a scheme that we implemented during the winter season to boost the utilization of our limited spare capacity. Other contributors were stronger load factors and the fact that we had early Easter getaway this year. So it's very critical for us that we saw a new record hit on the 30th of March with over 136,000 departing passengers in a very single day. In terms of components, long haul continues remaining a key driver of growth, with Asia Pacific and Middle East routes growing up by 3.5%. But it's not just that. We continue developing long haul connections with some exciting news in the period. For instance, Heathrow became the first European airport directly connecting to Australia with a new non-stop service to Perth starting in March. Also, we open new routes to large Chinese cities that will deliver for both our passengers and UK trade. In terms of short-haul traffic also had a good performance across continental European and domestic traffic, and we saw traffic up 2.7% in domestic area, influenced by the new domestic tariff discount implemented from 1st of January 2018, which was successfully used by our partner Flybe for its additional services to Scotland. Overall, this change means that domestic charges now have fallen by over half of price in the last 18 months. Lastly, another very strong performance is cargo. We saw volumes of 417,000 tons traveling through Heathrow, making Heathrow continue being the UK primary port, which was up 4.3% on 2017. The growth, again, was primarily driven by key trading nations like North America, China, but also Spain. What can I say about Spain? And this only stresses the critical part Heathrow has to play as the largest port by value in the UK. Moving to other operational performance on slide 6, I already mentioned that we face a very challenging operational conditions in the first quarter of the year. We continue to deliver first-class airport service with passenger satisfaction now reaching record highs despite the weather and operational challenges experienced. We achieve an all-time record of 4.2, and you can see in the chart what has been the phenomenal transformation that we have seen in the last 10 years, which is putting us well ahead of other major European hubs. In terms of departures punctuality and baggage connection rate, also they remain robust, but there was obviously some pressure driven by adverse winter conditions. In this regard, the results demonstrate that we continue having a very firm and compromising focus in terms of continue delivering our investment in winter resilience via training, equipment, and planning paid off for our passengers. In terms of the impact of winter events, our operational runs successfully during all the winter seasons with a limited number of cancellations and impact to our KPIs. Turning to slide 7, let's take a look at the recent developments on expansion. Once again, a lot has happened this quarter on our expansion agenda, and that's partly reflected by the ramp-up of the program. We spent over £25 million in the period, and we expect a further acceleration in quarters to come as we transition into planning phase. We started the year successfully with the completion of our first planning consultation over 10 weeks, and we were pleased by the strong attendance to our 40 events organized in local communities and surrounding areas. Given the strong turnaround and the quality of feedback that we have received through the first consultation, we have decided to go one step further and launch a new pitch process that was announced last week for potential delivery partners so they can share with us innovative ideas on how to deliver expansion in a sustainable, affordable, and financeable manner. The rationale for launching this process now is pretty simple. We are truly committed to developing and delivering a hub airport that Britain can be proud of for generations to come. And for that reason, we really continue driving our relentless focus to listen all good ideas and seek innovation from inception of the program. In terms of next steps, the feedback that we have already received and that we are expecting to receive through the pitch for potential commercial partners will be collected in the months to come. And we expect all of this to inform our preferred master plan, which is due to be consulted at the beginning of 2019. This preferred master plan will seek to balance all the needs of all our key stakeholders. Apart from that, we continue engaging with businesses across the UK. We have said from day one that this is a project for the UK and not just for London. And that's why we are now down to 65 long-listed candidates to become our logistics hubs that will help deliver expansion through the pioneering use of off-site manufacturing. We are also expanding our presence with SMEs, and we have expanded our business summit programs so we have a closer contact with our SMEs, giving them the opportunity to join Heathrow's successful supply chain. On the governmental front, the Transport Select Committee endorsed the draft national policy statement after a period of intense scrutiny and also made a number of additional recommendations. And we see that this endorsement is actually very positive news for Heathrow. And obviously, we will continue incorporating those recommendations as we mature further the program. I mentioned that next key milestone now is a parliamentary vote that we expected to happen by this summer. And we continue monitoring closely the level of political support. We continue to benefit from a broad cross-party support, with a latest survey suggests that 75% of members of parliament surveyed are in favor of expansion as we speak. Finally, from a regulatory perspective, our regulator continues progressing the expansion regulatory framework as per timetable, with a new round of consultation that was launched just yesterday. Obviously, we are very glad to see that the process continues moving forward on that front too. Clearly, I think it's too early to conclude the analysis from the consultation, but so far all the critical elements that we were expecting for the regulator to endorse, we can see it in the document, and we continue always analyzing in the months to come. But definitely great news that in all fronts we continue moving towards a timetable. Now let's move to the main course of the dinner in my timetable, which is the financial review, which starts from slide 9. As alluded in my introduction, our financials were strong in the first quarter of 2018, with adjusted EBITDA up 5.2%. In terms of components, revenue growth reached 3.8%, which reflects not only more passengers and increased retail income, but also contention in terms of prices. I talked about winter resilient costs, and that put some pressure on our absolute operating costs, which were up in the period by 1.8%, but on a per passenger basis were down 1.2%, reflecting the benefits of the efficiencies that we have put in place during the current regulatory period. Moving into the balance sheet in the bottom part of the slide, the growth rate of our regulatory asset base slowed down in this period, driven by the profile of our capital expenditure, and also inflation was slightly decelerated versus last December. Looking at net debt, we continue to have a very healthy headroom to leverage trigger events and covenant level. And let me give you now further color on the performance of different financial components, starting with revenue on slide 10. So our results demonstrate that we continue delivering better value for money to passengers, with average aeronautical income per passenger going down in real terms, while we achieve a record satisfaction score as well as a strong operational performance. In absolute terms, aeronautical revenue was up 3.1% overall, driven, as said, by strong traffic growth and headline tariff moderately flat or reducing in real terms this year. We continue enjoying a strong momentum in retail income with more passengers and a greater participation, and those who participate spending even more per participating passenger. Overall, that means that retail income was up 5.4% in absolute terms or 2.3% on a per passenger basis. We have discussed over the last presentations about the impact of foreign exchange. And what we are seeing now is that following the first anniversary of the EU referendum, some of the boost related with FX exchange is starting to dilute. And we are seeing that revenue growth continue being sustained by management action and changes in primarily in retail concessions and catering. In the other revenue category, it's worth mentioning the increase in property, where we registered a strong performance thanks to the delivery of new fantastic launch facilities such as the Qantas launch at Terminal 3 or the new Plaza Premium at Terminal 4 and 5 that I can only encourage all of you to visit as soon as you can. In terms of Heathrow Express, it's worth spending a few words on that. Probably you saw the announcement we published together with DFT and First Western Group a couple of weeks ago. As part of that fantastic partnership, we have confirmed that Heathrow Express services will continue until at least 2028 under a new agreement with Great Western Railway that will provide our passengers with better rail connectivity and also help to make sure that we deliver on our commitments on surface access, which means that at least 50% of our air passengers traveling by public transport by 2030 is achievable. In terms of financial performance, this quarter, otherwise revenues are flat year on year on Heathrow Express, and that's actually positive news as we transition in a seamless manner from towards a higher volume commercial strategy. As always, it's worth to remind everyone that given the regulatory single deal framework that Heathrow operates under, the larger commercial value that we can generate from our premium retail space, obviously the lower the charges to our airlines and passengers. Moving on to slide 11, let's focus now on the second key component of our financials, which is our costs. We continue our relentless focus on implementing further cost efficiencies and revenue development, but always it's worth re-emphasizing once again that we will not compromise on the service provided to our passengers and the resilience of our operations. That principle was vividly illustrated in the last quarter by the work and investment that we have put in place in terms of winter resilience since 2020. And definitely that investment pays off for our passengers in times of a crisis when we saw limited impact on our overall operating costs. Overall, in absolute terms, operating costs increased 1.8%, mainly driven by over £5 million spent in winter resilience. Equally important on our absolute trends is obviously on our passenger trend, where we continue seeing a decline of 1.2% or over 4% in we measure in real terms, while welcoming more passengers and providing better service. Obviously, the focus on cost is an ongoing activity, and we will continue seeing further efficiencies across 2018, primarily focusing on helping our suppliers to deliver better value through contracts and further standardization of internal processes and organizational effectiveness. Looking at slide 12, as you can imagine, the strong operating performance we had in the first quarter was translated into cash, which generated over £400 million of cash from operations in the period. This was sufficient to cover all our capital investment, external cash interest accretion, and most of the dividends paid to our ultimate shareholders. In terms of investment, our capital expenditure in the period was £152 million, the majority of which was focused on asset replacement programs and investments to improve both passenger experience as well as airport resilience. I mentioned, but it's worth re-emphasizing again, that in the period we invested over £25 million of the £152 million in terms of expansion, and we continue moving at pace towards planning permission. In the chart, you can see net restricted payments of £84 million, which represents the combination of three cash flows in different directions. First of all, a cash outflow to fund the majority of the £114 million in dividends paid to our ultimate shareholders. Additionally, the group distributed up to holding companies £46 million to serve interests on the Heathrow Finance debt. And finally, netting some of these impacts, the group received as inflow the £75 million proceeds from a loan implemented at ADI Finance II Limited, which is one of the holding companies above Heathrow SP and Heathrow Finance. Taking into account all these components, the net debt only increased marginally, primarily due to lower capital expenditure outturn and marginally deceleration on inflation. Turning to our gearing position on slide 13, this illustrates the robustness of our balance sheet in terms of gearing. As you can see, no surprises quarter on quarter. And worth re-emphasizing some of the dynamics we explained in previous quarters. You might remember that our gearing ratios slightly increased during 2017 at Class A, B, and Heathrow Finance as a result of the work done internally to absorb ADI Finance II debt portfolio at Heathrow Finance PLC, which will help us eventually to collapse the current four layers of our capital structure into three going forward. During the transition at Heathrow Finance, the buffer to covenant levels is expected to remain at 2 to 3 percentage points on regulatory asset base compared to our traditional 5% buffer. The more traditional buffer of 5% will be restored as soon as we complete the move, which is expected to move to 92.5% no later than September 2019. I would also like to take this opportunity to remind, as I did in previous presentation at GRN, that the leverage trigger event level for Class A debt has now moved from 70% to 72.5% effective from 1st of April 2018 as per the terms of our financing arrangements. Overall, we continue having a very comfortable headroom to the trigger and covenant leverage levels across our different tranches of debt. On slide 14, and as alluded at our full year results and to set some context, our funding targets for 2018 are expected to be of similar scale to 2017's, and we continue progressing in our debt financing strategy, which is unchanged and can be summarized around three key pillars, as you can see illustrated in the slide. First of all, stronger liquidity. Second, better diversification. And third, longer duration. I'm pleased to report that in the first 3 months, we have delivered on all these fronts. So far this year, led by Sally, the team has put in place over £350 million raised globally, taking our liquidity horizon now to February 2020. In terms of diversification, we successfully returned to the Canadian bond market last February with a $400 million Canadian dollar transaction with a duration of 10 years, and we were very pleased to see that not only good friends join again the Heathrow portfolio, but also seeing new investors now join the Heathrow's credit community. Also, in terms of boosting diversification, we also returned to the U.S. Private placement market with a new £145 million 18-year transaction, which is a fantastic diversification because it provides direct sterling funding and an additional duration. Obviously, in terms of anticipating questions that we will discuss probably in that in the Q&A later, we will continue monitoring global capital markets and relative value across the six currencies that we operate, but we do expect to go back to markets later this year. As always, in the meantime, I want to thank all of you and your institutions for the continued support that we continue receiving. So wrapping up the financial section on slide 15 and before moving on to further strategic developments, definitely we started 2018 on a strong foot despite external operational challenges, setting us in great position for the rest of the year. We deliver better service at lower cost to a record number of passengers while achieving a further EBITDA growth. In addition to our strong financial performance, our successful return to debt capital markets provided further evidence that Heathrow remains in a strong position to deliver expansion entirely through private finance. And lastly, we progress our sustainable growth priority in terms of surface access with Heathrow Express new agreement, and of course by getting on with deliberate expansion. Looking ahead and in terms of outlook, we expect our full-year traffic and financial outturn to remain broadly in line with the previous forecast published last December in our investor report. And obviously, in the forthcoming June investor report, we will take the opportunity to provide our latest views. Before finalizing, let me step back from the imminent financial reality and focus on slide 17 in our strategic overview. You know well our vision. Our vision is to give passengers the best airport service in the world, and the way we do that is by continuing progressing on our four key strategic priorities. So let me report briefly on what we have been after in the last few months and what's coming. First of all, everything at Heathrow starts with our people and with Mojo, and that means making people proud to work for Heathrow. So in the period, we launched an agile working campaign that, among other things, allow us to host conference calls from Singapore, but also allows colleagues to make sure that they can introduce agility in the way we operate. We want and we need to have flexibility to be more creative and productive in the way we operate. Also in the period, we celebrated the 10th anniversary of the opening of Terminal 5 in March. And it's interesting when you look back what has meant Terminal 5, not only for London, but for the country. In this period, we have welcomed over 284 million passengers in this decade, which is four times the population of the entire UK through a single site. Obviously, Terminal 5 is not just has been critical in terms of connecting the country, but also marked a phenomenal start in the multi-billion transformation that has taken us to become one of the world's top, top airports in the world. Also, in the period, we took the opportunity to celebrate success through our Heathrow Star Awards, which took place a couple of days ago. We are still recovering from that. And obviously, it's a fantastic celebration to colleagues that have are role modeling our business behaviors and values to the highest standards and demonstrate how outstanding service starts with outstanding loyalty to customers. Moving to our next strategic priority, transforming customer service, we continue to put a lot of focus on improving our service, primarily to the most vulnerable passengers, in this case, passengers with reduced mobility. We have really transformed and agreed new service levels late last year with our partner OmniServe, and recently we introduced our improved specialist care team. Looking ahead, we are planning to launch several attractive initiatives like Kids Go Free, which will be back this summer. And also in the summer, we will see the opening of our new Aerotel in Terminal 3, which is our first hotel in the central terminal area. Moving to our third priority, Beat the Plan. In January, we changed the tariffs, the structure of our tariffs, providing bigger discounts to domestic routes to make sure that we continue working with airlines to accelerate growth as much as we can. And obviously, we are very proud and glad to see the popularity of how Flybe has taken the opportunity of these discounts to boost connectivity between London and Scotland. And routes like Aberdeen and Edinburgh has become very, very popular in the quarter, helping also in terms of our connectivity agenda. We continue enhancing our intercontinental connections with new routes to Australia, to Perth, but also to China, and we expect that more of those connections in the next few months, in particular to big cities in China. Obviously, looking ahead, we are very keen waiting for the launch of the connection of the Elizabeth Line services, which is the first step of a Crossrail, which will join Heathrow with Paddington, but that will be the first step to connecting Heathrow with places like Canary Wharf in just 40 minutes at a certain point in 2019. And finally, regarding sustainable growth, obviously we completed our first planning consultation, as mentioned, and we continue progressing in the delivery of expansion. Looking ahead, critical factor for the success of expansion is people and people's skills, and we will issue our skills task force report, which will outline its initial recommendations in the next quarter. Obviously, now key focus is now on the Parliament, and we look forward to the Parliament voting on the National Policy Statement by this summer, which will become the next step towards moving to planning for expansion. So as you can see, we have been quite busy, quite excited in terms of the topics that we are moving forward, and quite excited that all the effort that the 75,000 colleagues across Heathrow that we are doing is crystallized in better service, better traffic, and better operational performance. So with that, I will stop there, and I will now ask Hugh to open the line, and I'll be happy to take any questions from participants on the conference call.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue, and then after I announce you, just ask that question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel. So once again, please press 0 and then 1 if you have a question, and there'll be a brief pause while the questions are being registered. Our first question is from the line of Charles-Henri Bovin of Insight Investment. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Yeah, this is Charles-Henri from Insight Investment. I have two questions. The first one is on Brexit and particularly the EU-UK aviation agreement. I would like to know what's your... do you have any update on this and where do you stand? And the second question is on funding, whether you are considering issuing any Class Bs in 2018. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alain, for your question. Let me take the first one. In terms of Brexit, no changes since our previous result presentation. Obviously, we continue working closely with the government. We welcome the words from government emphasizing the importance of making sure that there is a clear agreement between the UK and EU in the future. But as said, no further development since December. In terms of funding, probably best if I hand to Sally to talk about our plans for Class B in the year.
Sure. So in terms of the Class B funding, to answer your question, no, we don't have any plans for the 2018. We do have a maturity in September 2018, $400 million, but that will be absorbed into our Class A funding plans to reflect the fact that the Class A trigger has increased from 70% to 72.5% this year.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to remind all participants that if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now. As there seem to be no further questions today, can I please pass it back to you for any closing comments?
Thank you, Hugh. Well, once again, thank you very much for your continued support. I hope that the lack of questions is an indication of the clarity of and transparency of our commitment in terms of providing information to the credit community. So my last message is always I'll re-emphasize again the gratitude for our support, and I hope to see you very shortly in the terminals. So have a fantastic day, and I'll see you soon. Thank you.
This now concludes today's call. Thank you all very much for attending. You can now disconnect.